good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We've got another good show on tap for you this evening. We'll be talking women's golf and Bearcat football tonight. On the golf side, joining us will be the head coach of the Northwest Women's Golf Team, Andy Peterson. We also will talk with the player off of his squad, and J.S. Pancic, and then we'll talk football later on with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, and wide receiver Sean Bain, Jr., will be joining us. And alongside with Matt Porter, I'm John Coffey. And when you look at Sean Bain, Jr., he's a good one to have on this week. He has had a couple of pretty darn good football games.
And the best part about it is we can call him Sean Bain sophomore. That's the best part about it is he's still a young guy, but that's hard to realize because he has done so many things, not just this year, but through his year plus so far for Northwest, but he has definitely proven himself as a major deep threat for the Bearcats.
For the sports at Northwest Missouri State, another good week of sports. You look, first of all, volleyball lost a tough one last Friday to a very good team, nationally ranked Washburn, but came right back, a straight set victory and winning a three against another pretty good team in Emporia State on Saturday. So they really bounced back well last weekend.
Yeah, I think with that Washburn match, I mean, every one of the sets was close. They played them to five sets. And I think one thing that kind of shows really how tough that match was is despite losing that match, Northwest didn't fall in the polls this week, the national polls. They're still at 17. So, you know, if there's such a thing as a good loss, that's a good loss because they're able to learn from that loss. It's just the second one of the season. And like you said, they turned around, got the win on Saturday, and it's kind of the way it's been for the last, 3 weeks or so. It's been five-set Friday. They play the long matches Friday nights and then turn around and get wins on Saturdays. But another chance to get to see them at home coming up this weekend as well.
For the soccer team, lots of couple of tough ones last week against two very good soccer teams. And then but they're turn around, they're back home this weekend and with some good matchups coming up.
Yeah, they've had some tough opponents, you know, and they're getting to a spot where this weekend, starting with this weekend, there's some points to be had out there. They've got some opportunities to make some moves in the standings with these home matches. And, you know, there's three seniors for the soccer team that are going to be playing at Bearcat Pitch for the final time this weekend with the two matches they've got this weekend. So another reason to get out there and support them is it's a big opportunity for soccer, plus being able to see those three seniors off from Bearcat Pitch.
And maybe segueing back to volleyball, they're home this weekend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they should be some good matches. They're winnable matches again for volleyball. Then they'll go on the road for a little bit and then have another string of four straight at home. So it's really neat. You know, that stretch of six conference matches to start on the road, start conference play, tough during that stretch of six, but now that they've gotten past that and come past that with a great record, they're in great position to finish out the season strong.
And for cross country, they're on the road this weekend. They've got the MIAA championships.
Yeah, they're going to head over to Illinois. Elsa, Illinois is just outside of St. Louis. Lindenwood is technically the host of the championships, but they're going to be using a course that is used for the Division III national championship. So it's a great course over there in Elsa, and the men and women will be running. And, you know, we've heard Coach Laura talk all year long how they spend their whole season building for this meet and then the regional meet. And so, you know, they're to that point where this is as exciting as it gets for them. And so hopefully, you know, the men learned a lot last year in the MIAA race and in the regional races and are going to have a good shot to be there near the top when it all comes out this weekend.
Football coming off a good win over Northeastern State last Saturday. Of course, we'll talk more about this with Coach Adam Dorrell a little bit later on. But they just got off to a good start in that matchup with Northeastern and kind of a wild third quarter, a little bit of a shootout for both teams there, but a good victory.
Yeah, it's one of those games where, you know, if you look at it from the coach's perspective, they don't feel like they played a great ball game, but they got a pretty big win, you know. And again, if you can win games like that, there's a lot of teams that if you don't have a great ball game, you're getting beat as bad as Northwest won. And so that's a positive that you can learn from the mistakes you make in a game like that, but get a good win, stay undefeated, and get ready for a trip across the state this weekend.
Lindenwood comes in, another team with just one win on the season, but a team that's loaded with a lot of good athletes on that squad. And a little bit, and when you look at that team, it looks like they should have a few more wins than what they have.
You know, it's very similar to Central Oklahoma in that you look at the athleticism on that team, the size, the ability, the talent. you feel like those teams should have more wins. And that says two things. You know, they just haven't quite found that right combination. And, you know, it also says something about the MIAA. You can be a talented team and come into the MIAA and only have one or two wins just past the midway point of the season, because not only do you have to be talented, you have to be well prepared, and you have to be ready to go each and every play, literally, in the conference, or next thing you know, you've got one win 6 or 7 weeks into the season.
A little bit of a rarity in this matchup Saturday. It's not often Northwest goes on the road and becomes the homecoming team. We haven't seen much of that in the last decade or two.
You know, and one thing you think of is typically, you know, in the past, you always tried to schedule that team you knew you could beat by 60 for homecoming, so everybody'd be happy, but with an all MIAA schedule, how do you do that, you know? So you just kind of have to, the schedule plays out like it plays out, and if you have to call it homecoming, you call it homecoming. But one thing that's also going to do, and does for a lot of teams, is it adds a little bit of extra spark. So that's kind of something you have to be aware of. You got to know the team's going to come, Lindenwood's going to come out with a little more adrenaline, a little more fire, because you don't want to lose the homecoming game, especially for a team that struggled all year long. Getting a win over Northwest on homecoming, it'd be something to write about for this season.
Again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, we'll be turning our attention to women's golf as the fall portion of their season has wrapped up. And we'll talk with Coach Andy Peterson coming up next. And then a player off of his squad, N.G.S. Fancic, that's coming up later during this half hour. And then the last half of the program, we'll focus on football with wide receiver Sean Bain, and then we'll talk with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. And a reminder that support for the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. And more information at 660-582-2699. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we'll talk women's golf with the head coach of the Northwest Women's Golf Program, Andy Peterson. That's coming up right after this timeout as the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show continues from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Nottoway Valley Bank. With 8 locations, NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for almost a century and a half. The right bank is right at your fingertips at nvb.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Jesse, Maggie Wilson, and Chad Townsend offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audio Visual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW as we chat with the head coach of the Northwest Women's Golf Team, Andy Peterson, as they wrapped up their season hosting the Bearcat Fall Classic. Before we get to AP, though, our first giveaway of the night from the student body, and our winner is Norma Clark. See if Norma's paying any attention. Norma, you're a winner. She is. So, Norma, our first winner tonight from the student body here at the Coaches Show here at Carson's. Well, Coach, you guys wrapping up the season, as we mentioned, hosting the Fall Classic there. As you look at the fall as a whole, what were the biggest things that you learned from your team this year?
We are extremely balanced, I guess. We had I think everybody scored in every different position that I put them in this fall, which is good. With Shelby graduating this fall, obviously we're only going to have five for the spring, which from the girls' confidence standpoint, they got nothing to lose. Every tournament we play in the spring, it's just going to be a go out there and no pressure. There's nothing else riding on it other than putting up the best score you can. So, we got better every tournament up until our home tournament for whatever reason. I think we talked about that last time, just with the pressure of being at home, and there's people out there that don't normally get to come and watch, and I think we just kind of put a little too much pressure on ourselves that last home tournament. So up until that point, we played better and better and better, and so that's what we're taking in the off season going into next spring.
When you talk about the fall, you're one of those sports that's kind of like Coach Rosewell setting up there his sport. They play some fall, and then they get ready for a spring.
Yep.
How different is that? I mean, obviously you're involved in basketball as well, where you've just got one season start to finish. How different is it having kind of two seasons?
It's hard to, because all of our scores and all of our results count towards our regional ranking. It's not just wait till the last 3 weeks to see where you're at. I mean, it's from week one, your scores and your head-to-head matchups with teams, they count. So it's, you want to improve every week like we did, but at the same time, you got to get there as quick as you can, because it's from day one, it's starting, it's counting. You want to be in the top 12 come that first weekend in May. So that's the tough part. The other half of that is when you come back in the spring, it feels brand new, after a winter of sliding in there. So to maintain that mentality of, hey, we're getting better, we're getting better, we're getting better, and then to have 3 months or 4 months off competitively, obviously you would be practicing and hitting and stuff, but to have the 3 or 4 months off and to try to pick those reins back up right where you left off is the difficult part. But at the same time, you get that, for some of the girls, they feel like they didn't finish well, and that's that little chip on the shoulder you need going through winter to motivate and to push them along.
What is, and obviously right now I'm sure the girls can get out there and play because it's still nice outside, that sort of thing, but what kind of is the plan for the winter once the weather does turn and you can't necessarily be out on the course? What can they do?
NCAA-wise, we're limited to our 60 days here in the fall, which will be up next Thursday, I think, is what's on my calendar. So up until then, we can practice, and we've got our 24 meeting dates or whatever that we can have official practices and do things. After that, we're in off season. We're at 8 hours a week, limited on the course, obviously, but it's conditioning and strength stuff in the weight room with Joe, and then it's kind of on them for the rest of the fall semester, the rest of this November, December, to get in on their own, in the simulator and hit. Or if, it's Maryville, sometimes you can get out there in the middle of December and it's nice and you can play. Or hit on the range or whatever it may be. So it's kind of up to them the rest of the, after next Thursday, until school's out, to work on their game, do what they're going to do. Once school starts January 10th or January 17th, whatever that date is, we're in season technically, so it'll be one of those. If we get 2 foot of snow, we're going to be inside. If it's nice, when I went through school in the thousands, I think 3 or 4 years in a row, I played on New Year's Day with my buddies just because it was nice. So when we get back, we're in season. We'll start pushing and hammering and trying to chip away. Get the rust off as quick as possible, obviously, because our first tournament is the first week of March, I think, down at Missouri Western. So we'll have to turn it around quick.
You mentioned the simulator. What are some of the things they're able to work on? I mean, obviously, that's got to be a really different feel, but
right.
What are some of the things they're able to work on with that?
The best thing is it's true ball flight. So you can see it, it's connected to a projector. So as soon as their golf ball, the real golf ball, that's a huge plus. You can hit a real golf ball, full swing, whatever, however hard you want to hit it. As soon as it hits the screen, the computer and the projector take over, and it's true ball flight. Now, for the most part, it's close. I mean, there's some bugs in it, obviously, but it's close for the most part. They can hit on a range, just like in a range format, where they can just hit the same club over and over again, and it gives them all kinds of feedback on swing speed and velocity and distance and carry and all that stuff. But you can also play courses too. You can pick different courses and go out and try to play it. The chipping and putting's not any good for you in terms of getting your game better. It's more of a video game in that sense. But from tee to green, it's pretty true. But for the girls, the main thing they want to do is just be able to get up and swing, go through all their clubs, hit 10, 12, 15 shots where they feel comfortable and that was a good shot, you know, and then move on to the next club and just start to get things, you know, muscle memory hammered in and locked in before they get outside.
Now, you were talking about how you guys have the official practices and stuff. Are they able to, on their own, do stuff like that in the off season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's up to them. They can work as much as they want or not as much as they want. It's the same as a basketball guy getting in, you know, and getting shots up or anything like that. If they want to go hit and they want to go play, that's their prerogative. You know, with the deal we have with the City of Maryville and Mazingo, you know, they're members out there. Technically, they've got a membership pass, so they can go out and hit golf balls on the range whenever they want. They can go play whenever they want. It's one of those they can put in as much or as little time as they want this fall and over the winter. But, you know, we've talked about making that push and creating the culture of going out there and working.
One of the things you talked about a little bit earlier is about putting them in the different positions and then being able to score. Talk about, kind of maybe for somebody not familiar how college golf works, the importance of positions, what that means to figure out who's playing where and that sort of thing.
Well, it's play five, score four. So you got five girls on the course. For the lack of better terminology, I guess it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those are your positions. Your number one player down to your number five player. And the top four scores, regardless of position, that's your team score. The idea, though, is your number ones are your best players, and normally they play at a high level. And so and most college kids, in whatever sport, you want to play with the best. You want to be with the best. If you're competitive, that's the way it is. So, and it's much like basketball and baseball and all that other stuff. If the kid you're playing with, the student-athlete you're playing with, is at a high level, you're going to be at a high level. For whatever reason, you kind of feed off that. You feed off good shots. You feed off, you know, seeing putts go in. So that's kind of how it goes. Now, obviously, there's the exception every now and then where a number five goes off and just has their career day, you know. So, but, you know, it's one of those where the girl, you kind of play with their mentalities a little bit of, you know, you're the number one today, or you're the number four today, or, you know, you're really struggling. So it's a, hey, you got no pressure at all. You're in the five slot. So from just how we had to handle them this fall in terms of placing them and using their scores from their previous tournaments to qualify them for the next tournament, you know, I thought we handled it really well. We had three different girls playing the number one slot, and I think everyone played in the 2, 3, 5 slots at one point. So, It's different in that aspect, but it's also kind of playing into their mentalities and how they want to play and compete that day.
Now, we'll talk a little more golf in a minute, but you're one of those guys, the jack of all trades, transitioning into basketball. It's a little harder to hit a basketball with a golf club. The contact is easier. It just doesn't travel as far, and the ricochet of the club is dangerous, but how's that transition going?
Well, you know, basketballs, they just don't fit in a 4.5-inch hole either.
neither do golf balls in my case.
Yeah, I've seen that happen too. So, honestly, I've talked to Coach Mack a couple of times. I haven't been to practice yet. They started on Saturday. I haven't been to practice yet. This is kind of my week to decompress myself and try to, I don't even know what the term is, to adjust, I guess, to not only golf to basketball, but females to males and that whole dynamic, and just getting back used to the everyday grind of it, you know, because even with our season in the fall is so limited in our contact days. We only have 24 contact days within 60 days, and 12 of those being tournaments. So I only have 12 real practice days in the fall. So even though we've been going for 6, 7 weeks, I've only been with the girls for, you know, a handful of days in the grand scheme of things, you know, 12 practice days. Basketball's not that way. It's, you know, it's especially once October 15th hits, you know, it's 6 days a week, every week, until, you know, hopefully the second week of April or something like that.
So it's almost got to be kind of frustrating in the golf sense that you feel like there's so much more you want to do.
Yeah, so much. And honestly, that's why the job was so appealing to me 3 years ago was I felt like there was so much more we could do for the program. And it is that way in the spring. You know, I'm not handcuffed. In the fall, it's very, very much so. I feel that. And the girls feel it too. You know, and it is a little frustrating at times. Every school does it though. I mean, it's NCAA regulation. So everyone does it. It's just, you feel that because in the fall, the girls have been playing all spring, all summer. They're at the top of their game regardless of how they're playing. You know, they've been playing all summer. And that's the time to really hammer in and shoot low scores and do some good things, but you're so limited in pushing each other as a team and as a group because of those contact days. So, I guess that's the main difference with the fall is just the limited amount of time when it just seems like such prime time to get things done.
You know, it's weird. Not only is it hard to hit a basketball with a golf club, but even though it's a lot smaller, it's hard to shoot a golf ball into a basketball hoop, too.
Yeah, the facilities guy at Northwest would not appreciate golf balls off the back course.
And then off the floor.
If you see where I'm going with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I completely understand. Yeah. Well, Andy, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the decompression week getting ready for basketball season.
If you guys need me to fill in for Mac this winter, just let me know.
We may need a lot of that. Who knows? Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, guys.
That's Andy Peterson, head golf coach at Northwest Missouri State. Again, they wrapped up the fall portion of their season and will begin again next spring. Their first meet next spring will be in March. We're going to continue to talk golf when we come back, as we'll talk with one of Andy's student athletes right after this. You're listening to The Coach's Show from Carson's in downtown Maryville on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at Heinlein Home Furnishings.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Before we move on here, we have another handout here at the show, again from student body, Mallory Hill. Is the winner this time around. Mallory, come over and see Ryan just over to my left here and pick up your prize. Again, Mallory Hill is a winner. Again, we are continuing to talk women's golf at Northwest Missouri State. And joining us now is a member of the women's golf team, Gia Sapancic. And Gia, thanks a lot for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And you just finished up by the fall portion of the schedule. How would you say everything went for you this fall?
It wasn't too bad. I didn't end the greatest, but it was overall I improved a lot than I have in the past, and so that was really nice to shoot some good scores.
What are some things you try to do in the fall that maybe is a little bit different from the spring? Is there anything different when you go into the fall season?
Yeah, we come off of summer, so it helps a lot off that nice weather, and we get to practice a lot more and stuff, and so I think it's kind of you have a smoother mindset because you're still fresh off of summer, and you're good. But spring, it's a little different. I think it's more of a mental thing. You have to prepare yourself that the conditions are going to not be as good as they are in the fall. And then you also have to think your golf game is not going to be up to par as where you would like it right off the bat.
And you guys put in a lot of miles during the fall season. It seems
like you're kind of globetrotters
a little bit.
Yeah, definitely we do. But I think it's good for us as a team to go often, like, because, I mean, we spend so much time together, but yet we don't, because it's like when we're in the tournament, we're not really together besides eating dinner or the hotel sometimes. And so it's nice for us to all get together and be together as once, especially with folks, too.
That's a little bit different from other sports where you get out there on the course and it's essentially, even though it's a team sport, still an individual sport for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to, I mean, we see, like, when we see each other on holes and stuff, we try to talk to each other and just see how they're doing. And hopefully, you know, if they're playing bad, just give them a pep talk and just talk to them, and hopefully everything goes good. But otherwise, you have no idea until the end of the round.
I would think one of the nice things about the fall season, too, is it gives you a good sense of the talent level of the school, the rest of the schools in the region itself is over and above what's in the MIAA.
Oh, yeah, definitely it does. Because we play a lot of schools that aren't in the MIAA, and then we do play most of them that are in it. So you definitely get talent, different talent levels every tournament we go to, for sure.
Well, you wrapped up the fall season with a tournament out at the Mazingo Golf Course. If I remember right, the first day was a little wet for you guys,
it seemed like, but the
second day about as good as the weather you could come up with.
Yeah, it was definitely nice. That first day was a little rough, but, I mean, the wind wasn't too bad, so that was good. I wasn't complaining a lot.
I guess that's one thing you have to be ready for, inclement weather in less than ideal situations from time to time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially, I mean, towards the end of the fall and then in the spring, too. It's not the best weather, but you just, that's another mindset thing. You just have to be focused and ready to go.
Do you change your game a little bit when you come up against some tough weather?
Yeah, it's... Coach told me at the last tournament, the second day, when it poured and then it got canceled, and he was like, you just need to keep your mindset good. Like, don't try to go for anything that you don't think you can, because you know the wind is way too hard, and it's just one of those things that you have to play a little safer, because the wind and the rain is going to affect the ball a lot more than it would if it, like, was nice and not windy and...
Is it more of a mental game when you have those kind of conditions as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, you can't really – you can try to control the ball, but it's still not as good as it would be when you can. You know, I mean, you can't really control as much. So as long as you have a good mindset and don't get, like, too frustrated, then I think that's the key to that.
What are some of the goals that you have as you go into the off season now, but kind of in between the fall and spring seasons here? Obviously, we're going to have some good weather. You can still get out for a while before the end of the semester. But what type of goals do you have right now?
I definitely just keep getting – I mean, we work in the weight room, and I think that's a big part of our game. Like, I'm a very strong believer in that. And so just keep working in there and staying loose and stuff in there. And then getting in out as much as we can any days that are nice. And then we also have the simulator, which really helps, because even though it's not, like, 100% accurate all the time, that it's still nice to be able to swing, because you can't just go 3 months without swinging a club and expect to come back and be decent, you know. So we use our indoor practice facilities as much as we can.
Now, you talked about working out in the weight room. Probably a lot of people and a lot of weekend golfers don't think of golf as being a sport that benefits from weights. But how does the work that you do in the weight room benefit you when you get on the course?
We do a lot of flexibility things, and especially that's really good during the off season too, just because, I mean, we can't just be out there walking and doing that kind of stuff. And we do some conditioning, and I think that's really good because, I mean, again, in the winter we can't really be out there walking 18 holes 3 days in a row to keep us up, and so that's really nice to not have that stamina up when we come back in the spring.
You come to Northwest from Pueblo, Colorado. What drew you to Northwest Missouri State?
Well, golf was the initial, like, thing that brought me here, and then as soon as I came to Maryville and, like, toured and just, like, went around the town and just, like, the family atmosphere and everything like that. And then they have, obviously, I'm studying business management, so they have a great business program, and I was just really excited, and it just felt like home, I guess, when I first came here.
Talking about studying business management, I imagine that takes up quite a bit of time as well, but it looks like you're doing pretty good at that, being an MIAA academic honor roll recipient there.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a lot of work, and, I mean, some people think that you don't have to work as hard if you play a sport and stuff, but that's definitely not the case. I mean, you don't want any, in order to play, we have to have our grades up, and so we can't let that drop. I mean, studies come before.
And for sports like golf and a lot of the spring sports too, and you kind of get it on both ends there, but you're missing some class time for this. A lot of your meets end up on like Monday or Tuesday and things, so I imagine that's something that's really a little bit difficult as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, and I've been so thankful and lucky that I've had great teachers and understanding that they let me make up my work, and I'm always make sure I tell them like the week ahead of time that I'm going to be gone next week, so if there's anything I can do, I try to get as much work in early as I can so that I'm not being behind and just not trying at all.
All right, well, Gia, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you very much.
And that's Gia Sapancic from the Northwest Missouri State Women's Golf Team. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to football, and we'll talk with the wide receiver off the Bearcat football team and Sean Bain Jr. That is coming up right after this as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Wright Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville as we turn our attention to football. But before we talk to Sean Bain Jr., we have another giveaway here. As Jake Shanka is the recipient of our next giveaway from Student Body. So, Jake, if you're around here, look over and find Ryan over to my left here and pick up your prize again on the Coaches Show for this evening. Again, Sean Bain Jr. is with us, and Sean, you've put together another good season, and the last couple weeks in particular, they've been able to find you deep for some nice passes.
Yeah, so far so good. You got to give credit to the coaches with the game planning and, you know, just trying to get me open to make plays.
Let's talk about what when you see certain teams, when you're watching film, do your eyes kind of light up a little bit when you see certain secondaries that think this might be a good week for them?
Absolutely. With my ability, I just try to, you know, be their worst nightmare on the field. And so I practice like that and, you know, just push myself to the limits to put myself in position on Saturdays to make those plays.
It's been a pretty good season so far, and when you look at your career right now, you look at freshman year, last year, this year as a sophomore, you haven't lost a game so far for the Bearcats.
Yeah. We're undefeated, but I just try to go 1-0 every week. I didn't even know we had a streak going until, like, last week the reporter told me. But, we just try to go 1-0 every week, and, you know, we're just going to go wherever that leads us.
When you saw in off-season and obviously workouts during spring, summer, and getting ready for this particular year, at what point did you think that this could be another one of those special years for you? I know you've got some games left, but did you think that when you look at this, that this could be a heck of a year?
The offense during the summer, we were kind of shaky. Doing 7-on-7s with our defense, we weren't, you know, completing as many deep balls because, you know, they knew we expected it to come. But we kept working, you know, day in and day out just to, you know, do what you can do and, you know, control what you can control. and we made plays, I guess.
Kyle Zimmerman, quarterback now. Last year, of course, you had Bowles at the quarterback spot for most of the snaps. Now, Kyle, talk about adjusting to a new quarterback, and what do you have to go through to adjust to a new QB out there?
A lot of routes on air, you know, just trying to get that timing down and, you know, knowing where I'm going to be when I'm fresh and knowing where I'm going to be when I'm tired and, you know, just knowing where to put the ball and, you know, just trying to stay on the same page. And we tried to click earlier this season, like, unlike me and Brady last season. So, you know, on those deep balls. So just trying to click early and often.
One of the things that it looks like from our vantage point anyway is it seems like the passes are either in spots where you're going to catch it or nobody is going to catch it.
Right.
It's where obviously he has to throw an interception, but it looks like he really places the ball nicely for you guys.
Yeah, he does. You know, he's really he really focuses on that throughout practices. And, you know, he's on himself just as well as the coaches and us. You know, we just got to give him a pat on the back. But he's really been, you know, focused. Like,
one of the things that you do, that besides being a wide receiver, is return kicks and punts. And some people think that might be kind of a crazy job out there because you're looking at that ball coming down at you, and you got about 11 guys coming down the field that they want nothing more than to knock you down. Talk about the mindset of being a returner like that and what that takes.
Well, you really have to be fearless, honestly. And be quick as you can because they are trying to knock your head off. You know, we try to scheme as well, and, you know, they try to sweep and sweep so I can have a seam, and we're trying to do it, but we're slowly ticking. You got to be fearless back there.
What are some of the things that you have to think about when you decide whether this is going to be a punt or a punt that I'm going to return or a punt that I'm going to call a fair catch on?
Well, it depends on the hang time and how quick the defenders are coming at me. But, yeah, it's usually those two factors. That's really about it.
Hey, one thing that's fun about watching you out there, it seems like there's a good chance you're going to see a move or something you just have never seen out there before. You heard a couple, I think, last week where you just got a little juke move here or there, and it was off to the races for you. When you're out there, is it instinct or is it something that you're thinking about at that time when you make moves like that?
Yes, some of it is instinct, but usually I just try to – it's either them or me, and I try to make it be them instead of me. It's that move last week was crazy. I didn't expect him to react the way he did, but I'm glad he did react the way he did, so, you know, we scored a touchdown.
And how much fun is it to see you got the ball and you've got a lane to the end zone there, and just how much fun is it to run the rest of the way there down the field knowing that you've got a score coming in?
It's pure joy. When I made the move, I just had my knees up and just like, oh, man, let's finish. Let's just, you know, finish through the end zone. That's really about it.
You come to Northwest from Sarasota, Florida. That's a little bit of a distance to come and play ball. What brought you to Maryville?
Well, when I was first, you know, the recruiting process, they stuck with me throughout my senior year. I didn't have an ACT, and they stuck with me. They gave me the call. They were like, you know, we don't have anyone. And I was like, no. And they were like, you know, we can give you a visit up here, and then we can give you an offer. And so we did that, and, you know, things happen for a reason, so, you know, I'm not even questioning it.
And how much fun has it been to be a Bearcat?
It's been very fun. The community, the atmosphere of the games is just absolutely ridiculous, and I can't even just picture myself being anywhere else.
As far as off the field, what are your studies? What are you studying right now?
My major is biomedical science. I plan on being an orthodontist. The science courses are really tough, but, you know, I'm balancing it out.
Well, it seems like you see a lot of athletes who really have to do that balanced job. So the athletic side of things kind of give you the discipline to do the fast work?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, doing the little things in football definitely carry over to, you know, the classroom, just, you know, paying attention, taking notes, you know, talking to the teacher whenever you can. Just, it really is the little things that add up.
And one final thing here, I think a lot of people that have been longtime Bearcat fans, when they watch you out there, they come another wide receiver that really the start of when things got going comes to mind, and Tony Miles. I know you probably never had a chance to see much about Tony, but you might see his name in the record books here. And you remind a lot of people of what Tony was able to do on the field, and he had a pretty good career. And you're just a sophomore, you might be able to take some of his records out of the book there.
You know, if that's possible, that would be a blessing. You know, I'm willing to do that. you know, I just, you know, want to leave a legacy as well as he did. So.
All right. Well, Sean, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
And that is Sean Bean, Jr., wide receiver for the Northwest Missouri State Bearcats. We'll continue to talk football. When we come back, we'll talk with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, about last week's win over Northeastern State and a trip this week to St. Charles to face Lindenwood. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. And we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Today's game is underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing, copying, and other services such as folding, stapling, binding, and laminating, as well as supplying ink and toner. Rapid Elite also provides UPS and FedEx shipping services. More information at 562-4657.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and we continue to talk football with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. And, A.D., before we talk about the matchup last week with Northeastern State, we just had Sean Bain Jr. on and talked to him. What's it mean to have Sean out there on the field for you?
Well, he's a very dynamic athlete, but I think everything with Sean starts with his attention to detail. He's a great student athlete. He's very, very mature for his age, and that's one of the things that we found out right away. The other thing that I think has been really cool about Sean, as a coach, I've always I've worried a little bit about a young man who's had success early, and sometimes they can become complacent. He's never done that. You know, he was freshman of the year last year, and he's worked harder this year. His film study, his understanding of defense, and that's what you want to see in a guy that has that much success early in his career, come back more focused the second year, and just something to prove. Sean always feels like he has something to prove. He always wants to play well. He always feels like he can do better, and he's his toughest critic. So, you know, we're lucky to have him and just very proud of him. His leadership is great. He's great with the young kids, and he has a lot of respect from the older guys. And I heard you talking about Miles, Tony, and it's, to me, I think one of the best comparisons for me. I was a senior when Tony was a freshman, redshirt freshman. Actually, he was a sophomore, but I can remember thinking of big games, man, we got to get the ball to Tony as a senior. And so I think a lot of our guys feel the same way about Sean.
You know, when you talk about a guy like that and how important it is to stay grounded, academically, we heard about it, what he's studying. I can't even really pronounce it.
That makes two of us.
Yeah, but, I mean, how important is that? Obviously, he's a smart kid, and does that help him on the football field stay grounded because he gets it?
Well, I think it does. He's very analytical. His major's very hard, and so, again, that's a testament to how much time he puts in the classroom and on the football field, practice, film, video room. to try to make himself complete. But, you know, I've always thought, and I really think it's true here, if you're a good, and I tell the kids all the time, if you're a good student and you do the things that it takes to be a good student, the accountability, doing your homework, turning stuff in on time, having good communication skills with your professors, you know, with projects, people in your class, I really, really think it carries over the football field. I really believe that. And then it goes the other way. You know, we tell kids if you can't show up for a class, I mean, you can't go to class on a consistent basis. How do you want me to put you on the field and trust you? And so that's something we really try to get across to our guys at a young age.
Hey, coming off a win over Northeastern State, Military Appreciation Day last Saturday. Good to get back home and good to put another nice win on the board there.
Yeah, it was great. I think the biggest thing, John, we were really excited to be back home, and I think it showed in our play. Man, we were so jacked up about the crowd. You know, sometimes in those mid-season games that don't look great on paper, sometimes I know it can be hard for fans to come, but we were so excited about our crowd. They were great. They were loud. It was funny. There was a couple of times I heard a lot. There was a lot of advice from the officials I heard. They're coming out of the home stand. So, and I love that because, you know, it's like our fans can say some stuff that and we've got great officials in our leagues, but it's great because sometimes our fans can say stuff that maybe I want to say and I just can't. So, but it was great. Our kids played hard. Again, you watch the film Saturday night immediately. I was just so proud because our kids were just flying around. And you know, you make mistakes. But, gosh, when you play so hard, sometimes those mistakes – I mean, like, you might get a offensive lineman that may, their combo block may not be the best as you want it, but man, they're playing so hard to try to finish it. And a lot of times they can be pushing the guy into the linebacker, and they may not even get off on the linebacker they're supposed to, but they got gut, such good movement. You know, defensive line might take the wrong step or see the wrong block at them, but when you're playing so hard, it's just fun. It's great right now. Our kids are continue to be unselfish, and you know, the word we used this week, kind of the buzzword, was stay humble and hungry. You know, and I think that's important to talk about this time of year, but we're really just trying to focus on staying humble, continue to get better, and stay hungry.
You know, we've talked about how many different players you have that are weapons. On Saturday, you showed how many different ways you can score because there were so many different ways. But two of the plays that you had weren't necessarily worth a lot of points, but they seem to be worth a lot in the game as a whole. When you get a safety, you only get a couple of points. When you block an extra point and return it, you only get a couple of points. Yeah. But those two plays themselves seem to be, I don't want to necessarily call them momentum builders, but they really kind of put a dagger in the opponent.
They do, and, you know, go to the safety first. Obviously, I think we got the ball around the 40-yard line or maybe the 42, so our field position after the safety was obviously phenomenal, and I can't remember off the top of my head if it led to a score or not, but at least you flipped the field because you were going to get a punt. That's a big thing. And then the PAT field goal block, again, I mean, you know, we talk about it. I think we had talked about it last week and, like, how much history is in this program on big plays in the kicking game, you know. And then you could just go through the games over the years and, obviously, we won by a lot, but it doesn't matter. It's the mindset of the kids that I'm going to block a PAT. And then the way it happened, you know, that backside guy, Marcus Jones, you always practice, hey, make sure you show you're coming, but then get wide. So if the thing's blocked and you're the scoop and score guy, and he bounced right into his hands. And to me, you could tell he was an old quarterback or wide receiver because, man, he grabbed that thing and you could tell he knew what to do with it when he picked it up. So it was awesome because it brings a lot of energy to the sideline.
Another area I thought, and it's been an area you've had some success with all season long, but it really seemed like the offensive line gelled and did a lot of nice things for you out there.
Yeah, they're playing really good right now. I think they're playing hard. It's a group they really care about each other. We've gotten we've gotten healthy there a little bit, and that certainly helped us. But they're a great group, man. They work hard. They care about each other. It's funny. You go through all those guys and how they're very detail-oriented. And it's funny. It's a lot. And it's something you want, but they're very hyper-competitive. They may look, you know, watch your notes for them and how they're blocking stuff. And it's just like it's cool to see them dive into You hate using that word perfect because I don't think you can ever be perfect, man. But when you get a group of guys trying to be perfect, it's a good recipe. So they're protecting the passer very well. I think they're run blocking good. They're getting movement on their double teams. And then the thing that's great for me when I go back, we chart everything. They're not making a lot of mental busts. And that's huge. I mean, you're talking about running 80, 85 plays, and there's five offensive linemen going every snap. I think we had four mental busts last week, you know. And so I think that's it says a lot about their preparation. It says a lot about them. It's a good group right now. They're playing hard.
Obviously, within a group or within an area, if you've got a couple of guys working hard on the offensive line, the rest of the guys are going to see that work hard. If you've got a couple of wide receivers working hard, the rest of the wide receivers, does that cross over groups? Do the skill guys look at that offensive line, see how hard they're working, and then want to work harder because they're seeing that?
Yeah, I think I'd take it a step farther. I think that's part of our culture and what makes us great. I think that so many times, you know, we always talk to the guys about, are you putting in time or are you putting in work? And I think there's so many kids in our program that show up every day, just like we do. You know, everybody has bad days. And there's days you don't feel like doing it. And I think what's cool for me is I see how many times we get kids fighting through injuries, you know, fighting through not feeling well, you know, fighting through potentially family problems, things they got going on at home. But it's like when they cross that line and they step into the locker room, it's just like there's a sense of family and commitment of they're not going to let each other down. And I mean, it's powerful, man. It goes well beyond athleticism. You know, it goes so much before. And that's what makes football such a great game. And I think it's the best game in the world because of that. There's so many factors that go into winning. It's not always the most talented team. But our guys are just, they really care about each other, and they're giving their best, even when it may be hard to.
Again, we are talking with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, on the coach's show this evening. We'll come back and turn our attention toward the next matchup as Leonard Woods on the schedule in St. Charles on Saturday. We'll talk to AD about that right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, and AD on the road this weekend, you've got Leonard on the schedule in St. Charles, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, but it's a rare time when the Bearcats are playing somebody else's homecoming.
Yeah, we're excited. You know, it's one of those things that when you see it in the preseason, it does. It grabs your attention right away. And, I'm not going to go into detail why, but it just excites the kids. Because I think there's a couple reasons. Number one, they know it's going to be a good atmosphere, good crowd. You know, number two, they know how we play or want to play and how special homecoming is here. And I think it really grabs their attention right away. So I'm excited about it. It's supposed to be a beautiful day. They're going to have a good crowd. They have a nice little stadium that sits in that bowl, good-looking place. And it's really cool because there's so many. We have a lot of alum on that side of the state, guys like Joe Bossy, you know, and you know, I know he's going to be there with a group of guys that used to play here. We've got a lot of former players that are coaching down there, and it's hard for high school coaches to come all the way up here for a game, and so it's nice to get a chance to go down there, and I know a lot of those guys are going to be there. There's going to be some former players of ours, teammates, guys that I played with there, so, you know, we're excited. We've had a great week of practice, it's going to be great.
I figure it's got to be a tough place to play because the last time we were there, if I remember right, after the game, the cheerleaders were having to run wind sprints.
Yeah.
And so I'm figuring if the cheerleaders are doing that much work, that the football team's got to be ready to
go. I noticed that, too. I pointed that out to our guy. I said, you think I'm tough? I was like, we're not, at least we never run after a game. But, yeah, they were out there running sprints, and it was funny because I don't know what that was about.
I don't either.
If that was a normal deal or if somebody was late, you know. And so, yeah, it was pretty cool to see.
But I think they had more cheerleaders than they had players.
They had a lot, didn't they? They really did. They've got a whole palm squad, a whole cheer squad. And, I mean, we were watching it on our end zone shot when it goes to the end zone. And one of the old linemen, one of the freshmen goes, "Coach, see me cheerleaders they have." I go, "I know." I know it, man.
When you talk about homecoming for a team that's hosting the homecoming, does it always just kind of naturally give you a little extra boost? Something that I know you guys as coaches make.
Yeah.
Hey, these guys are really going to be ready.
Yeah, it does. And it's just, you know, it's you don't mean it, but I think some of your kids take it like, how dare you schedule us for homecoming, you know. And it does. It gets the guys jacked up, and it makes for a better college football atmosphere. And this time of year, it's great, you know. And it's got our guys really excited. Factor that in with the, you know, this time of year, man, it's amazing to me. Practice, and I know it sounds nuts, but it's something about when the leaves start turning and the weather gets a little cooler. Football players like that, you know, when they get all that gear on, it gets hot. They like this time of year, man, when they're out there in the nice cool weather. So we've had a very productive week of practice. And, you know, I feel like we're ready to go down there and play hard.
Now, in the plan, have you figured out how to get in their homecoming parade?
No, we have not.
You've done that before?
We have. We've done that before by accident. By accident. And that's never a good thing when you're in somebody else's homecoming parade.
Now, maybe I told you you're number one.
We had a few people telling us we were number one. They gave us a gesture that we were number one. It's good, but... No, we haven't looked in that. I'm glad you said that. I'll have Kevin make sure we catch the route.
You've got a Linden 1 team on the schedule. It's only got one win. The first game of the season against Central Oklahoma. But I know talking with you earlier, you felt like they're as talented as any group that you've played this year, just from a pure athletic standpoint.
Yeah, to me, John, it's scary because it just reminds me how hard this league is and how much parity there is in this league. It goes back to what I just said earlier. Winning football goes beyond having talent. There's so many little minute details that go into winning because you watch them, and you'll know what I mean. You watch them, they've got speed. You go to their offense, I mean, they truly have a three-headed monster at tailback. They all do a little bit different. They run hard. I think their offensive line in the last 3 years, it's the best offensive line they had. They have skill guys. They have the big, tall guys outside that can catch the fade ball. But they have the little guys inside that can hit the screens on and hit vertical routes, flip it over to defense. They don't blitz much. They're very fundamentally sound. You know, they've got a great player, Connor Harris, at linebacker. Got a lot of speed in the back end. So statistically, it's like they may look like they're giving up a lot of stats, but it's like they really try to make you earn everything, and it's going to be tough. We have to be patient. And not force the football. We've got to be able to get positive yards on first down. Play action passing is going to be important to try to get guys stepped up. But we playing a defense like them, you can't press. And then taking the special teams, they got the number one and number two kickoff return guy in the league. I mean, when was the last time you saw that on the team?
Yeah.
So their kickoff return team is phenomenal. Schematically, they're very good and how they do it. And so that's going to be a huge challenge in covering kicks. They punt with three different kids. And it's going to sound crazy, but one of them's right-footed. And you can ask Sean the difference of the spin on a right-footed punter. And then they have a left-footed guy.
Connor Harris comes in and punts, and oh, by the way, you know, that kid's a high school quarterback, so then you have to be, they've run some fakes this year, and they've got athletes, they really do.
He's probably also been out and ran sprints with the cheerleaders after the game, too. That guy does a lot
of
stuff.
Yes, he does. You know, it's one of the things that I've noticed this year that they're not doing, which I think is very smart on their part, because that kid, you know, he has a future after this year, and they're not playing him on offense. And I cringed last year when I saw that because, man, he was getting hit hard. A lot of times he's in the pile, and nobody's trying to be dirty, but the ball carrier naturally gets hit a lot. I was just like, man, I think last year at one point in time, by the number of snaps he played on defense, number of snaps he played on offense, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's getting up around the 80 threshold plus special teams. That's too many snaps for a kid that's that talented. So they're not doing that this year, which I think is good for him in his long-term career.
One thing in looking at what Leonard Wood does offensively, it seems like from a statistical standpoint, they give up an awful lot of sacks out there. Is that something you can take advantage of?
Yeah, we're going to try, John. The one probably inconsistent for them offensively is their quarterback spot. And I don't know if it's by design or by injury, but the kid who played the first four games hadn't been playing. They brought another guy in that's played, you know, about 4 weeks ago, and now there's a new guy they brought on that's played the last 2 weeks. So we're trying to prepare for the last two. You know, I think you got to use some deductive reasoning. Last week they were, you know, played a very good Emporia State football team, and Emporia State had to score late to win the game. So we're preparing for the two quarterbacks we've seen the most recent, but that's probably about the only thing that hasn't been very consistent for them. And I think some of that sackage was coming in early with holding the ball a little too long. So probably why they made the move.
And you really dealt with that several times this year, yeah, where you weren't exactly sure going in what you were going to see because of the different looks,
yeah,
on film and stuff like that. And your team's adjusted well.
We have. And I think it's safe to say, you know, I know Rich feels the same way with the game plan we've seen the last few weeks. They hardly run a tight end set. I guarantee you will see a tight end in a wing alignment. He'll be on Bevins' side, and he'll chip Bevins, and the back will chip Weidel on the other side. And they're going to try to throw vertical fade balls. And so that's something we've worked on this week to try to improve that a little bit, mix up our coverages a little bit more. But, you know, bottom line is the inside guys have got to get home. And we've really challenged those inside guys to get home and do a little bit better job pass rushing. And they're giving great effort. We just got to get them a little bit more technical with their games and stuff like that. So I feel like we have learned from the last couple weeks what we've seen, those deep balls, and hopefully we can carry that into Saturday's game.
Do you see some teams come into a game and do a few things differently, especially if they're blocking scheme because you've got a guy like Bevins and Weidel out there?
I think so, John, and I think I go back to last year, and it was about mid to late season. Like I was, you know, and you're talking to an O-line guy. I've been an O-line guy my whole life. You know, I'm sitting over there at times last year and just going, are they really not going to double-team those guys? Are you really going to try to get a guy to block Bevins one-on-one? And so I think a lot of it is people maybe have learned from last year that those two are very dominant at this level. They're the top end that you're going to find the best in Division II. And so I think people have learned from that too.
I think maybe trying to figure out how to add an extra tackle on one side or,
yeah,
the other if they can.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of guards on the right side.
That chip block,
yeah,
defensive linemen hate it. And we do it on offense. And they'll just tell you it's a nightmare because you set that kid in wing and, you know, he'll chip you. And then you start thinking about it. And the next thing you know, he's running a route. Or he's slicing across the other side and chipping the other guy. And so I think it becomes just as much as a psychological thing. So we're doing some different things to maybe get them out of harm's way a little bit and try to move them around and give them some flexibility in their calls and how they're going to run stuff.
All right, well, Adam, thanks a lot for being with us here.
Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Doyle. We'll be back and wrap things up right after this on the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at BearcatSports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering automatic entrances, electronic security systems, as well as service and repair locking, hinging, and closer hardware. More at 582-3131, or in store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandVilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter Agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital, Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Services, offering services from athletic training to physical therapy to total joint replacement. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. That's where you wrap things up from the program tonight. Reminder, next week we'll be coming a day early due to some downtown activities with trick-or-treat special activities on Thursday evening. So we'll be doing our show from Carson's here next Wednesday night, beginning at 6 o'clock. And don't forget Bearcat football on Saturday as the Bearcats face Leonard Wood. It's a 1:30 kickoff. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 12:30 with Bearcat game day from St. Charles as Northwest faces Leonard Wood. Thanks to everyone involved with our broadcast tonight from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Reminder, you're listening to KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe, from Matt Gorder, and also for Ryan Neal helping out with our prizes tonight. I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Glorious.